Today's episode of Rob is a Podcast is sponsored by DraftKings.com. Football is back. That's why I'm extra miserable these days as a Jets fan. DraftKings is hosting another free fantasy football contest this weekend. Maybe it could cheer me up before Ryan Fitzpatrick throws 9 interceptions at Buffalo on Thursday night. $100,000 is up for grabs. That's twice as much as the second place finisher is going to get on Big Brother. No deposit required. You heard that right. None. Put your fantasy knowledge to the test for free to win your share of 100 grand this weekend at DraftKings.com. DraftKings is the destination for one-week fantasy football, and that means no season-long commitments, unlike these showmances. Play whenever you want with the players you want. Just pick your contest, draft those players, and follow your team live. You could renew old rivalries with friends to prove you're the superior GM, or try a 50-50 contest with a top half of all entries, win cash. You can't get that on Big Brother. Whether you're a one-week fantasy rookie or a grizzled vet, DraftKings offers fun, fair, free contests, the three Fs, all season long. So hurry to DraftKings.com. Use the promo code ROB to play for free in this weekend's $100,000 fantasy contest. That contest is free, no deposit required, so there's no reason not to play. Again, use the promo code ROB to play for free for your share of 100 grand this weekend only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who's feeling the friendship. Oh! Rob Cesarino, hello everybody, and welcome back to a show. We are not pissed. We have friendship. We are ready to go. Very excited to talk about our final four. And most interestingly of all, we have a new HOH, and that is Paul. They kept him. He won the HOH. Brett Walgamont, you got to be pumped up.
Rob, I am so pumped up. I cannot wait to bleep you in the bleep.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
See you in New York. Yes.
I haven't been bleeped in some time, Brent. So good to be greeted. Yes. Greeted by
yes,
you.
Yes. But I'm thrilled, though. I saw this. This came across, for those people who don't follow Twitter, it came across spoilers last night on Twitter. Miss Cleo spoiled it. I want to give credit to her. So congrats, Miss Cleo. You were right. I was thrilled that she was right. That was just absolutely amazing.
Miss Cleo nailed it. Miss Cleo nailed it. Okay. All right. And then, of course, with us, once again, the great Alex Kidwell. Alex, how are you?
Doing pretty good. Insert bleep joke here.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Did I steal yours? Sorry.
No worries.
Oh, boy. All right. So we got a lot to set up here tonight. First of back-to-back nights of Big Brother this week, Tuesday and Wednesday. Instead of Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to Tuesday, Wednesday. So we'll have our live eviction show coming up tomorrow night. Looking forward to that one as we get down from 4 to 3. Plus, we'll have the show on Friday night to cover the recap. We love to recap the recap here on RHAP. You can't recap the recap without RHAP, I think, or something like that. And so we've got so much to do. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions into the show. Also, we're going to be on the lookout for your questions on the chat as well as we go along, because we can't, on the way that YouTube is set up, it's a long story, but that I don't believe you could post comments during the video. There's just a chat, and we may not see them there. So when we get to the questions that come up, then keep posting them in the chat room. All right, so we've got a lot to get through tonight. Of course, busy day on RHAP. Corinne's binder went up so far. Woo-hoo! No protests outside my house today. So far, so good. And let's get into it here with our final four. Of course, this question I want to start with tonight is for Nikori. As they talk this through, Brent, did they ultimately make the wrong decision? They were so worried about Elfitvik and all his competitions and would he win in the jury. But it seemed like that we tend to know what these final four competitions are going to be for HOH. Is the answer that HOH final four doesn't matter? It's more they were concerned about the veto at final four?
Well, this is how I see it. I see Paul and Victor as being pretty equal when it comes to mental competitions. Victor is no slouch. He's a smart guy and he pays attention. He really does. The other thing to consider is that they were all, you know, if you have to break a tie, Victor is obviously the better physical threat. And beyond that, I think he's a better jury threat. So I think they've clearly made the right decision by evicting Victor for the third and final time. However, it came back to bite them in the ass by Paul winning. We don't know what would have happened if Victor would have stayed. He might have got all of them right. Probably not, but maybe. So I think this was just it's kind of like Victor the week before. You made a move. You made the best move you could with the information that you had, and this is the result. You can't control everything.
Alex, are we not being enough results-oriented? Where's Stephen Fishback?
I mean, it's all, down on the stretch in Big Brother, it's really tough. I mean, you just got to try to insulate yourself as best you can and hope for the best with these competitions. Victor is good at things, and Paul is good at other things, and they're both, I mean, pretty skilled players. And, if you wanted to nitpick on that level, like, shouldn't Victor have targeted Nicole and Corey instead of James and Natalie? Because, like, if you're going to make a Final Four with a pair, you could make the same argument that Nicole and Corey are better at competitions than James and Natalie as a collective. So, that can be thrown all directions.
Okay, Brent, how about that look? That feeling when Nicole is in the tiebreaker question up against Paul, and it's like, how many seconds was blah, 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 blah. And Paul's there, and Nicole's like, she's just like, and she doesn't even turn her answer over yet. And she's like, she needs more time, and she's just totally gone into the holy crap mode of
holy crap.
She knew it. She knew it, Brent. She knew she lost even before she turned her card over.
Yes, she did. She knew she lost. I am thrilled with this result. I have to tell you, I've already screenshotted Nicole's face. I'm going to put it on a t-shirt. I'm going to put it on my wallpaper on my computer. She can take her I've never been nominated speech and shove it where the sun don't shine, because she's going to be nominated this week when Paul's the HOH, Rob.
Yeah. Does that count, Alex? Does that count as
Hell
a nomination?
Yeah, it counts.
Sure, it counts. Why wouldn't it count?
All right, just checking.
Is she going to sit in the chair?
Canon.
I think she's going to sit in the chair, Rob.
She's going to sit in the chair. All right. So Nicole and Corey, that they are definitely in hot water. You guys outlined this scenario where you guys were talking about on the happy hour last night of where is that. I believe it was, is James in danger, Brent? The question was posed to you. Is there a possibility James could go home, or will James certainly be in the final three? And I believe you said, what if Paul wins the HOH? That could certainly be a scenario where James goes out at the final four.
Right. And you have to give Corey and Nicole the edge over the potential pair of Paul and James. I mean, James ain't winning final four veto. I would be absolutely flipping stunned if he won any sort of veto that they could come up with at the final four. So basically, it's Paul against Corey and Nicole. That is the only way James stays in the house this week. If Corey or Nicole win the veto, they're both safe. James will be evicted, and Paul's going to have to win out. Although, to be fair, I think Paul has to win out anyway, but I think it's easier for him to win out against Nicole and James rather than Nicole and Corey, because Corey is good at things that Paul is also good at.
Let's talk through just a couple of scenarios here. All right, so first off, Alex, that the Final Four veto is typically what? Physical, mental?
I feel like it's usually physical.
It's
usually
varies, more mental.
But I'm thinking about, it's usually something pretty big, something pretty elaborate. I mean, it's such a powerful position. I'm thinking of Big Brother Canada 2, where they played that huge board game in the backyard, and it was so comprehensive, and there were so many pieces to it. It's usually something like that, or wasn't Big Brother 10 and they build the pyramid. So it's physical, and it's remembering either who was HOH or who did what on what day or who won what veto. So there's going to be, or maybe it's the boxing competition or the karate one that Caleb hosted.
Well, that was a new one for last year, but usually it's something align the stars. You have to put house guests in different spots. Different things are true about different house guests, but there's only one correct solution to the entire board. And that's where it really comes down to a mental competition more than anything.
All right. So hypothetically speaking, scenario number one, if Paul himself wins the veto, ultimately, will he make the nominee, or we don't even know who his nominees are going to be, but if we presume it's going to be Nicole and Corey,
yes,
it's going to be on the block. Then if he will leave that the same and leave James with the solo dolo vote, Alex, to take somebody out?
I think at that point. And certainly he would probably have some input, but And yeah, I don't know. James might just do whatever he wants at that point. I mean, I don't think James has much. James is just trying to keep making it through. I don't know that he really cares too much who he's making it with at this point. He just wants to make it himself.
With who? With who? That's right. He cares about who he's making it
well,
with.
Well, now that the option is gone, that, you know, at this point.
Yeah.
Right. I would have liked to see the alternate universe where Paul is not HOH. And actually, no, I really don't want to. But I would like, because we had this argument, Rob, about whether or not James would willingly go to the final three with a pair. Obviously, that's off the table now. He can't go to the final three with a pair, which I still don't think he would have done. But maybe that's one of the questions you can ask him when you are there in the backyard next week.
Well, I think we learned in the DR tonight he definitely would have. All he said in the DR tonight was about how me, Nicole, and Corey might not like it, but the three of us are rock solid and have been since the beginning of the game. And I mean, he said that so much to the point where I was almost reminded of like Andy in his final speech saying like, oh yeah, me and Gina Marie had an alliance the whole season. It's like, when?
Yeah, but on the other hand, I
think that's totally different things, Alex. That I feel like that the Andy thing was totally made up at the end, where I think we've had a lot of people speculating that James and Natalie, or James and Nicole, were working together this whole season.
But they definitely weren't. Like, there's clear evidence as to how they weren't. Like, they were... There was multiple weeks where it was very clear that they were working on opposite sides.
I know a man with a megaphone that would say differently.
I do too, but he's not right.
He's just passionate. Here's the thing. So
it's a great
exactly
quote
right
for all
right?
of us. Yes.
Look, Paul went up to James a couple different times this past week before the feeds went off, and he said, you know, we have to break up Corey and Nicole. We probably have to get rid of Corey. James said he was down for that. He was with him, and he did not run back to Nicole and Corey immediately or ever that I saw and tell them. So that leads me to believe that there is a kernel of truth to the fact that James is not totally loyal to going to the final.
Kernel Camo?
Yes. He's not totally loyal to going to the final three with the pair. Like I said, I'm glad that option's off the table now. Paul's the HOH. Paul will be there on finale night. I'm praying he can win either part one or part two so that, you know, there's a sliver of hope, because if he doesn't win part one or part two, he's definitely gone. I don't see any way.
All right. Bring me down, Alex. Tell me why Paul can't win the game.
Paul can win the game.
Why don't you just kill my buzz here tonight?
I think Paul can absolutely win the game, but I also think it's important for fans to realize how likely it seems, at least from my perspective, that Nicole would beat him if the two got to the end. I think that's something that fans would be outraged by, and it would make perfect sense to me based on my perception of where the jury's heads are at and my perception of how the games that people think they've played. I could be wrong, but I think James versus Paul would be closer than it has any right to be. I think people are really missing a big piece here, which is that Paul in surviving the way he's done this season, in having to like protect his own interests because nobody else will all season, he has burned a few bridges and left people with some bad feelings on the way out. And I think that's potentially something that we're ignoring here.
Brent, make him stop. Tell me why Paul's going to win.
He's wrong. Paul will win if he gets to the end, because did you see that nomination speech? This boy can talk. I'm telling you what, he entertains people. They will see this. When they will see the eviction, the jury will see what happened tonight. They were absolutely blown away. The house guests in the room were blown away by it, and they don't even like Paul at this point in the game. They want to get rid of him. If they wanted to get rid of him, but they had to get rid of Victor. So, I think that he is the odds on favorite. If he makes it to the end against these odds, I do not. And he's also, here's the thing, he's one of these guys, I've said this before, and you criticize me for it, you're laughed at me for it, he's like an impish devil, he does things that pisses you off.
Like a Tyrion Lannister.
Right? He drives you crazy sometimes, but you forgive him for it because he's such a cool guy. Like, I feel like the jury will forgive him for some of the things that he said and done in favor of the fact that he is a pretty cool guy that they like to hang out with, and they wouldn't mind giving him the money. And he's fought his ass off to get there.
Alex, I do think it was a good move when he gave that speech, because you can't tell me that when Big Meech sees that she was mentioned in a speech outside of the house where her speech style was parodied and brought into another live episode of Big Brother, doesn't that forgive all the previous sins?
You would think so, but I would argue no, because many, many times this season we have seen Meech interpret things differently than I or you might interpret them. Her perception is going to, be more important than our perception of the situation. And I think she's more likely, because she already dislikes Paul, to say, look at him trying to copy me and do my thing. And like, that's me. Like, he's trying to, now he's trying to steal my thing. I could definitely see that. Like, there's always like, people are always going to see things one way or another. And sometimes it's not the way you hope.
I don't know where this is coming from, though, and I respectfully disagree with you, Alex, because it feels like you've sort of discarded all of the good times that Michelle and Paul had in the house. And there was a lot of good times that they had together. It seems to me that she would hate Nicole vastly more if Nicole made it to the final two, and not even mentioning anybody else who might get there with Paul.
It's possible, but I also feel like, you know, Davon, being a returning player, is going to be primed to vote for Nicole more so than Paul. And,
well, hold on.
And as a result, I think that someone that...
Can somebody paint the scenario for me where Nicole ends up in the final three or the final two with Paul? How do we even get to that point, Alex?
Paul evicts Corey this week.
Paul evicts Corey this week?
Corey,
Paul doesn't have a vote. Paul doesn't have a vote under any circumstances.
Right.
Isn't James always going to keep Corey over Nicole?
Yes.
Unless their final two deal is real. Could be. What do you think, Alex?
I think that, Paul's going to put up Nicole and Corey unless one of them, you know, saves themselves. I think Nicole is going to go home. I think Corey is going to go home. And then going forward.
Okay, so that scenario is basically that Corey wins the veto and then.
No,
I don't know. How is Paul getting to the final two with Nicole?
I can explain it
Paul
to you.
Paul wins the veto this week. Like, Paul wins his own veto.
No, he doesn't even need to win the veto this week.
Or James does.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. This week is irrelevant. If he wins out and takes Nicole with him to the end, which he might do because he might see Nicole as more beatable, Nicole, as Alex pointed out...
Then Corey?
Then who?
Then Corey?
Yes, I think that is a perception in the house that Nicole is...
Yes, exactly. Because Nicole has done a good job of making sure that people know that she is hated by the jury, whether or not that's true or not. But Taryn and Alex correctly pointed out yesterday on the feed show that Nicole has done a good job of making sure that it's well known and it sinks into the other house guests how much the jury, quote, dislikes Nicole at this point in the game.
But isn't perception reality? We heard a bunch of people talking tonight, both Paul and Victor talk about Nicole, what a snake, you know, just like she rattles. They also heard Victor bring it up again. At some point, especially in Big Brother, where these feelings are so real, this is the longest season that we've ever had, I believe. Right, Alex?
Oh, yeah. Every year it is.
99 days. I mean, shouldn't we be thinking that the jury is going to be especially sore with Nicole potentially?
I get that line of logic, and maybe they are right now, but we've got to remember that there's going to be like a Dr. Will roundtable at some point where he's going to make these people feel like idiots for holding grudges, because that's what he does. So
is that what Dr. Will told you, Alex?
Yeah, I've got the inside. I've got the inside scoop from my.
You're like this.
Yeah,
you're like this now. Yeah. Alex is reporting what Dr. Will is going to do. You think Dr. Will's really going to make the case for Nicole over Paul?
No, not necessarily over Paul, but I do think that like people who might be discounting Nicole in the game are going to be persuaded, say, if she's up against James. And I think, you know, if she's up against Paul, I think the votes are already there. Like, Davon saw Paul as like a member of her team that she didn't turn on, who kind of turned on her. Like, everything that would be thrown at Nicole. In some cases, these people could throw at Paul, even though he was really just trying to save himself most of the game. He didn't have close working relationships with a lot of this jury.
Right. What about Paul Calafiore?
Yeah, that's what Alex is looking at.
Would he vote for Paul?
Against Nicole, I do not believe he would. I think there's a chance, but I think, you know, for two reasons. Number one, he was working with Nicole and Corey very closely at the end there, obviously. He loves Corey to death, so he wants to make Corey, his bro, happy. And number two, he has a pre-existing relationship through his brother, Cody, who played with Nicole in his season, and it would be very cool to give her the win. I think in some weird way, I think Paulie would feel like he won again because somebody from his brother's season ended up winning the game. So that's what Alex is thinking about, that Paulie is going to vote for Nicole if she's at the end against Paul, and Zakiya by proxy will also vote against Paul and vote for Nicole. So that's two. He thinks that Natalie will vote for Nicole because of what she said on the way out. She seems to respect Nicole. Obviously, Corey would be on the jury. That's four. So now Paul's got to run the table with the other five. That's what he's worried about. I am not so sure that Natalie would vote for Nicole, but we'll see.
Sketch.
Yeah. Paul, I can't wait to party with you after the season is over, but I have to vote for my girl, Nicole.
Hey, look, the thing is, if I vote for Nicole to win the game and give her $500,000, she might take me somewhere fun, like a water park or something like that.
Yeah, or the Jersey Shore.
Oh, it smells.
I will say this. If Zakiya is able to vote a different direction than Polly, she will earn my respect back here. If she's able to say, you know, Polly, you go, yeah, that's cool. We can still be friends. We can play around. We can screw whatever they're doing in the jury house. But if she's able to vote for Paul as Polly votes for Nicole, then I'm cool. I hold out hope that she can pull it out.
But if Polly decides to vote for Paul and then Zakiya has a mind of her own to empower Nicole and vote, you know, girl power, will you still be impressed or will you be bitch.
Pigs also might fly as well. Yeah.
All right. While we're here.
My brother Cody.
What did you think of Derek's comments tonight, Brent, about how that he was going to take my brother Cody to the final two?
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was yelling at my TV screen because my partner was sitting there, and of course he doesn't really know Big Brother all that well, and I was like, you would have taken him because you knew you could beat him, I was like swearing. So, and then I was also irritated by the introduction where Julie was like, you know, one of the winning half that made it to the end. I'm like, no, bitch, one person won and his name is Derek Levasseur. There is no winning half of anything. This is not a team sport.
This was the best Julie Chen interview I've ever watched. And it wasn't close because she actually Derek will dodge those questions on the podcast, but you put it to Derek on CBS and he's like, I kind of have to answer this in some capacity.
Well, why? I think this is an interesting question. Like, why does Derek not take more ownership in the fact that he was the brains behind the operation and
my brother Cody
was just there? The same. I feel like that Dan does the same thing where he gives Memphis more credit. Is it just that they're trying to work on their table image where if they go back and play again, they sort of don't want everybody to feel like they were the mastermind and say, no. It was Memphis, really. It was Cody did a lot. You didn't see behind the scenes. What do you think, Brent?
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I know what people have said otherwise, but I think both of them are inherently probably good guys who have a little bit of a dark side to them than when it comes to playing reality TV games. So I think he's just trying to be nice and being cool with his brother. I don't think he wants to make Cody look bad if he can avoid it. Obviously, Julie kind of pinned
That's
him
Paul's
down there.
Job.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Julie kind of pinned him down there and made him answer a few questions, which I was glad to see. If you can't see why Derek won the game after that interview, I mean, he was composed. He didn't get rattled, I don't think. And he owned his answers
pretty rattled.
Well. Yeah, right.
That's rattle her.
Yeah.
There's another rattle reference tonight with Nicole. I can't remember. He worked in a answer, and then he said, it's rattling around in my head or something.
That decided to rattle her.
Yeah. Rattled her right before that Final Four competition, that Final Four HOH, Brent.
Right. Oh, man, I'm going to watch that. Him winning that tiebreaker, I'm going to watch because, Miss Cleo spoiled how it ended, but you never know until it's over. I mean, Miss Cleo might have gotten bad information, not that she ever has before, but you never know. There's always a first time. So, when Nicole went ahead, I was like, I was nervousing. I really was. I was like, oh, my God, she has to miss a question here. She finally did. They tied it up. They went to a tiebreaker. I was absolutely thrilled, but I was nervous the whole time.
I just wanted to say, I do think with the Derek Cody thing, there is an element of, like the Music Man kind of, where it's like the con man blows into town and gets one over on you. And you don't necessarily want the town to ever know that you pulled a prank because you might run into him down the road and have to deal with that. So it's better to maintain the lie for the rest of your life.
Come on. The horses are out of the barn at this point.
Who knows? Maybe it dawns on Cody, wakes up one night. He's like, I got played. And he goes over to Derek's house and kills him. Derek doesn't want that.
Oh, come on. Stop.
Try to avoid those scenarios at all costs.
All right. This conversation is over. All right. Let's talk about James in this Final Four. Boy, James is so terrible. he's so brutal. What did he get, two right out of this? It's almost like it's hard to, I think, get two right out of this 50-50 game.
Right. I was watching this again with my partner and he was like, what's he doing? I'm like, well, he's not throwing it. He's literally trying to win and he's getting them all wrong all the time. It was sort of fun to watch. As Donald Trump would say, James was a disaster. He was a total disaster the whole time.
It was sad. Sad disaster.
Exactly.
Total disaster. Sad James.
And this was after timing out in the first competition.
Yeah. And my favorite part, the part that I'd like to rewatch over and over and over again is when they played Natalie's message that she said literally to James, James, I will always blank with you. And it's like, okay, what's the question? Okay, is it I'll forever be with you? Is that true or false? And I want to call James a name. I will not. I will say not super bright James.
That's the first time in the history of
delusional James. Says,
I was just going to say it's the first time in the history of the true or false competition that somebody answered with their fingers crossed.
Yes,
like, I really hope this is truth. Not just that my answer's right.
Yes,
but
I really hope
truth.
That it's true that Natalie said, James, I will be with you.
Right.
And nope, that is not what she said. She never said that.
No.
I will not be with you, James. No.
That was so great. And the look on his face when he got it wrong. And then he had to like reset. She had to remind him to reset. Yeah, like, that was
what
great.
What the hell?
Active listening isn't a wall either, I guess.
Walls are
his thing.
Yeah. Nope. She said, I will always care for you. As in, from a great distance, I will
exactly.
be caring
in the friend
you.
Zone. In the friend zone, yes.
I will care. I'll be over here caring about you over there.
You'll be in my thoughts.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, that's where I want to be.
You'll be up on my caring wall far away where I will not be with you. I will be somewhere else with someone else.
You know, I will say this. I wish the feeds were on right now because I guarantee you the feeds were on right after that. I mean the HOH competition because I guarantee you James would say, I was just so struck by her. She was so pretty. I wasn't listening to anything she said. You know, I'm sure that's what he would say. You know, something like
mm-hmm,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Women love that.
Yeah. Sorry, James. That was great. All right. Let's start to get into some of these questions. Although that I was going to also kill James about when he was staring at the picture of Natalie from the comic book stuff. Scott St. Pierre made a good point before the show started. James is not trying to win that competition. But still.
Yeah, there was talk on the feeds. Nicole thought that James would throw it, clearly. I don't know if he was trying to throw it. I think James is totally capable of timing out in a competition like that, but who knows?
Yeah. And then in terms of the comic books, okay, I know we got two big comic book fans on the panel. Alex, which comic book characters were you impressed with tonight?
Oh, the first one that drew my eye obviously was Big Meech. I think that was hysterical in a way that makes me scared for her when she gets out of that. Like, I don't think that's something that she's going to enjoy.
She's not going to like that one, which I love it all the more for that.
And, you know, last night I dressed up as Big Meech. I could have done it today, but my onesie is at the cleaners.
I liked, I loved Paul's, the Motormouth one, and I also liked Bridget's, the Cabbage Patch thingy. It was very cool. I thought they always do a good job with the comics. Let's be, even for people that have like Corey, that have nothing interesting about them whatsoever. Corey is so bland that they needed to bring in another house guest to make his look okay. That's how bland Corey is, okay?
They went to a Christmas joke everything. Again. Yeah.
Right? Going back to the well, the Christmas joke. Har, har.
And like in two seasons, both of Nicole's, like she mentioned, like, I'm always in costume. Isn't that cool? And I'm like, or does it just mean you don't have a personality for them to draw
you
on?
Don't have
and
a thing.
That they've just,
right.
What's your thing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like James was Captain Camo and then he's a veteran. So I guess they, you know, promoted him to a colonel that jumps out of trash cans. So that's nice.
Yeah. There you go.
Trying to steal his $500,000. I'm like, when
maybe
was that
Oscar
yours?
The Grouch is a colonel too.
Right.
Are you guys sleeping on Dr. Groom?
Definitely sleeping on Dr.
Oh my God.
Groom.
Sorry. It took me a second. Yes. Oh my God. That was great. Glenn needs to get that comic right now. That was, they did such
they
a good job.
They didn't even give him his water bottle. They're not going to give him his comic.
Oh, well, he'll get his comic somehow. Somebody will get it to him. Yeah. That was great. They did a great job with these. I was really impressed.
Yeah.
Somebody called eBay.
Yeah. Right. Possibly.
All right. Let's get into some of these questions. Hashtag RHAP. This is from Sakishi. Isn't the safest bet on those tiebreaker questions to just write the number one? Brent, give us the Price is Right. do they play by Price is Right rules on these?
They do. They play by a modified Price is Right rules. I mean, obviously, one would have won it in this instance because Paul went over. But since they both went over, then Paul won because he was closest to the correct answer. They don't have a rebid like on the Price is Right, obviously, because they can't because you're writing down answers. To answer the question, no, I do not believe that putting one is a good answer unless you're absolutely positive that somebody else is going to go over. And I don't know how you would be positive of that. Unless it was like down to like her and Corey, let's say he was playing and he had told her ahead of time, I'm going to throw this one to you, you know, that then maybe that's a good idea. But this is hindsight 2020 again. Obviously, if Nicole knew that Paul was going to go over, she would have wrote one. I thought her answer was pretty good. My answer was 5,400. So I also would have been over because I thought it was about an hour and a half that competition took. So Nicole wasn't that far off. I mean, her answer was pretty good too, that she just got it wrong.
Well, yeah, me and Brent watched the thing live and we both went over. So yeah. That's just, I mean, well, like we both would have lost to Paul here. We watched it.
Can we say it with any certainty though that James cannot win the game? Can we say that James is drawing dead yet?
I cannot say that.
I don't know if I can just because of like this whole Natalie, Michelle, Bridget contingent that, you know, may... You know, if you have those three and then Nicole and Corey, say.
Give me the NFL Week 17 scenario where James gets to the end and wins. What has to happen?
Well, say he gets there against Paul and Paul in some way in the next couple of weeks really pisses off Nicole and Corey. James could have Bridget, Michelle, Natalie, Nicole and Corey. He wins 5-4 right there.
And what does that look like this week?
What do you mean?
That's where Nicole, that James votes out Nicole or Corey. And then what? James takes Paul to the end or Paul takes Corey to the end?
Well, I think at that point, like say James votes out Corey this week, then next week, like James would win head of household and Paul would win veto. Or no, there's no veto. Right. So then in the finals, like Paul would decide that James is the GOAT. Yeah. At that point, Paul would have to decide James is more of a GOAT than Nicole.
Right. Okay. All right, man. So many Corey goat jokes write themselves too if he gets to the final too. Can't wait for that. Okay.
Yeah, no animals are harmed.
By the way, I will just say, Rob, just to make you feel a little bit better. Again, this is the part where I always say, remember, it's a TV show, it's a live TV show, and they have to walk up there and put their key in the box and explain their vote after. If it's Paul and James, at the end, I do not see any scenario realistically where house guests would listen to them both talk while James mumbles his way through a final two speech and Paul literally blows the socks out of everybody and they listen to his answers and then go up there and vote for James. I cannot accept that will happen.
Natalie can.
Okay, fine. Yeah. But beyond Natalie, I do not believe that anybody else will do that. I think they will give Paul his due and James is going to be happy with $50,000.
Okay. All right. Boy, I think that the chances of a Paul podcast go way down though if he wins, Alex. The podcast, yes. I think, is in jeopardy.
Probably true. Yeah, he might even, the real fear is him starting his own. As long as he doesn't do that.
the good news is it won't be about Big Brother. That's what we can
that's
be assured of.
Yeah.
You know? That's true.
He's not recapping the live feeds 37 nights a summer.
No, he's more into like MMA and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. All right, this is from Obsessed, who says, considering Nicori knew that there would be a Final Four mental comp, HOH, why didn't they keep Vic over Paul? Brent, you're shaking your head. They're just thinking all about veto.
You guys are so effing results oriented. Like, Victor is not a slouch when it comes to mental competitions. He's not. Victor is a smart guy, and this was true and false. It wasn't like they were doing the Pythagorean theorem up there, for heaven's sake. I mean, come on. You know, Victor was totally capable of winning a competition like this. Paul and Victor, to me, are equal when it comes to mental competitions. They have shown no ability to separate themselves thus far, I think. So I give them equal chance to win a mental competition. Victor was the better physical threat and the better jury threat. You've got to get rid of Victor here when you have a chance. Otherwise, he could definitely win out. And, Paul did what he needed to do. You can't cover all your bases.
He
did win that math-based roadkill.
Exactly.
And, professional mathematician Bronte was even still in the house at that point.
Right, so. And he got to the end and ended up winning. I know Paul threw it to him, but he got to the final two and one of the, Benny the squirrel, you know, match this, find this thing. So he's got a good head on his shoulders.
Recognizing patterns and shapes all day.
Yeah.
Right, you brought up the squirrel. Why has the squirrel become such a totem of BB-18? What's going on there?
I don't know for sure, and Alex can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's based on Jason Roy, aka, you know, the gay boy from Boston who talks like this with the cigarettes, you know?
No.
I can't do his voice very well. He always said squirrel or squirrel.
Squirrel.
Thank you. Yeah, he said it in a specific squirrel. Way that was a Jasonized way of saying it, and then the squirrel became a thing. And people can tweet me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how.
Benny the Squirrel has been in there longer than that.
Oh, well, hell. Okay, I'm wrong then.
This squirrel is actually like, it's kind of like the duck in that, like, I don't know what season it started, but it's always there somewhere if you look very carefully. It's in every competition for at least the last few years. It's somewhere, and it's dressed up it's a miner in the background of the Tozarks, or it's like, but it's always there. And I didn't really notice it until Jason pointed him out as Dr. Squirrel in that competition that you're referring to.
Where did he get his name from? Because did Jason name him? Because I don't remember Benny the Squirrel until, like, they told me his name was Benny the Squirrel. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no,
oh, okay.
I think the set team names. I think he's like an unofficial mascot of the set building team, and they try to like one up themselves by like finding new original ways and costumes to like stick him in the background. And yeah, I think it is like a running in joke with the production team at this point.
That's a very in joke. I think it's a
very
stretch.
A little in.
Okay. Michael Reiser says, this ain't my first rodeo. We got a picture of James in very creepy rodeo clown makeup.
Yeah.
And, boy, Paul with a real zing of, Natalie really rode you. Unfortunately for James, not in the way he's looking for.
Right. Yeah. She took him for the ride of his life. Exactly. And almost tried to take him out of $500,000. James, I've seen that picture before. I think he was coming back from a gay rodeo. I'm not exactly sure. Or possibly a trick or treating. I'm not sure.
Is that real? I thought that was Photoshopped.
It's Photoshopped. I'm just kidding. Come on.
All right. Yeah.
All I know is that What the Beep competition really let me know where my head's at. And I think I need to go to church.
Okay. Right. This is from Ian Ferns. Says, is it fair for Julie Chen to say it's not over yet to Victor before reminding him he's part of the jury? Why is that? Because that was a tease for Victor, Alex?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
Victor can handle it.
She's interviewed him 3 times now.
Like, nothing left to ask him.
She's not Walter Cronkite. She's not just pulling new questions out of what's left to talk about?
Yeah, I think the fans are thinking that maybe Julie Chen is trolling Victor a little bit, like it's not over yet. But then, you know, you're back to the jury house or whatever she said. On the other hand, she says that to everybody. So I don't know why you're giving Julie a hard time about this.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
All right. Katie Beth Austin, does Paul wear the same exact outfit every time he's nominated? Brent, you're nodding. Yes.
Well, I can't go back through every time he's been nominated to see what he's been wearing. I do know that when we did our preview podcast and we were talking about Paul, I was down on Paul because I'm like, is he gonna be wearing this all the time? Like all that jewelry and that leather coat and the hair up to here and the beard down to here. I mean, like, you know, he's really got a lot going on, but you know, when he's just walking around the house, he's totally cool, but he does that for nominations and, for evictions.
Yeah, what is that look, Alex? And I mean, I'm nobody to question anybody's look, but is he a biker? I mean, what is he going for there? What's with the, does he ride a motorcycle?
I don't know if he rides a motorcycle. I think maybe he does, but
is he just a poser?
I guess I would call the look like maybe like Sons of Anarchy meets Little People.
I would think he's more like Eddie Murphy, like a 1980s comedy special. Yeah. Well, what's going on there? That it's just so weird. It's so like the guy is either walking around with like an inflatable rubber duck or a leather head to toe outfit.
Yeah,
he's like
the Gimp.
Or he's wearing shorts with like knee high leggings.
Right. Yeah. He's an eclectic guy. That's why I've seen
loafers.
That's what I'm talking about, Rob. Like, Paul, these people have lived with Paul all season long. Like, this is the guy that they remember. If he gets to the final two, I don't care what he said to Michelle. They weren't even there for that. Like, that's not going to rule the day. What's going to rule the day is how much they like him and whether or not they feel comfortable giving him $500,000.
Okay. Boy, Brent, we're right where we were in Big Brother Canada. It's that I'm seeing 1 week from tonight. I got a premonition of you wearing a veil talking about James is the winner of Big Brother. We're right where we are.
Well, I put the veil away only because when I heard that Paul was the HOH, like, I was like, okay, at least it's not going to be a Nicole and Corey love fest where she's talking about how awesome he is and he's going on about her. Like, I could not have handled that. Rob, I would have called in sick from the podcast if that happened. So I'm glad I don't have to put up with that. Paul may not be the winner. I don't know if he's going to win. I'm hoping he wins. But if he doesn't win, at least he gave us a good show here at the end.
Okay. All right. Let's keep going. All right. Johnny DeSilvera says, did Paul and Victor get to argue at the POV ceremony to Nicole? Did production cut it for airtime? Well, I don't think we know any of these questions, these answers.
Yeah, that's the problem. The feeds have been down, so our information is pretty much your information at this point.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you said, well, I mean, they have the veto ceremony, and then the feeds were back for a little while because they have the veto ceremony on Sunday, and the feeds were on to like Monday. I think that's what he's talking about. But we, you know, we're just like you, Johnny. We don't know like what happened during the veto ceremony. Victor said he was going to go after Nicole or veto ceremony speech, and then I didn't hear any fallout afterwards during the feeds, so I have to believe he just, you know, said, you know, he hung it up and said, I'll save it for eviction night.
Okay. And while we're on the topic, feeds come back at 1 a.m. tonight.
Yes. 1 a.m. Eastern?
Eastern.
Yes, yeah, 1 a.m. Eastern, and we will know by then who is the holder of the power of veto.
Yes. Oh, boy. All right. Jalen Wesley says, did Nicole have an advantage in the veto comp since she played it before? Brent, you're nodding yes.
I was saying
unfair.
Yes. Yes. Oh. I'm sorry because I was talking to my partner about something, you know, after she had that amazing time. I'm like, well, she's played it before. She knows what to look for. There's certain things that come up over and over again. Usually it's not the person themselves. There's these little props they put around them, the hat, the leggings, the letters, you know, things that you've seen before. There's only so many things they can change on a comic, for heaven's sake. And she obviously has done this before, and she had an advantage at it. So yeah, I do think she had an advantage at playing this veto competition. I didn't like it.
Alex, did
although
Victor get
James
boned?
Has played this. James has played this before too, right?
Ah.
Got boned.
Second time was not the charm there. No. But did Victor get boned?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but what's Big Brother if not like just one boning after the other.
All right.
That's the name of the game.
Says, and now even Julie Chen is saying ride or die. Yeesh. Yeah, that's a thing. That's an official thing, ride or die now.
Well, I think it became prevalent because of the three duos that made it to the end. So she's perceiving that all three of them are ride or die, which I think they probably are. I don't see any scenario that he's probably going to go to the end with Victor if he had the opportunity. I don't think even if like a total goat was sitting there, you know,
that'd be for Corey.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's where I think she's getting that phrase from. And it's probably pretty apt in this season where three duos made it to the end. Pretty amazing.
Yeah, I feel like it came up a lot in BB17. Is that crazy talk, Alex?
No, I don't think so. I think it's something that, yeah, has come up a lot there recently. I think it came up among like some of the younger players actually in Survivor this past season. I think Ride or Die was mentioned, maybe by Julia at one point. I do think that that's kind of a prevalent thing. I also think it's pretty overrated in the game.
It's a millennial term?
Potentially in life, if you ask like Jay-Z. I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
Somebody like that.
All right. All right. JP Talks BB. Is anyone else annoyed by Paul and Victor saying, oh, now I'm going to be running around for gunning for Nicori next week like that was their plan before?
I mean, look, I'm on record on the Feeds podcast saying that I didn't think it was the best strategy in the world. On the other hand, I think Victor knew his number was up at this point. If he didn't win the veto, he was probably out. It's cool to put all his cards on the table. Look, he was hurt. Victor's an emotional guy. He was hurt. He wanted to let them know he was hurt. I was totally fine with that. I was glad that he made Nicole and Corey start shivering a little bit after he said, I'm going to be gunning for you and I'm just going to team up with James if I stay anyway and we're both going to come after you. Like, they needed a little bit of medicine at that point. They were getting a little too cocky for me, and I'm glad he gave it to him.
Okay.
Well, it does help Paul, I think, at that point. Like, it's a natural reaction.
It does.
Ideally, you hold it back in this game, but you understand, especially a guy like Victor, who's been burned so many times this season. He is a bit like a... Yeah, I mean, well, he's a bit like, you know, like, yeah, he's just been beaten down so much in this game that it's, you know, he
right.
keeps extending his heart and people keep stepping on
this
it.
Is the,
you got to feel for
this
it.
This is the point in the game where if I was playing, I feel like I would be more like Victor. I don't feel like I would be able to keep it in. Like, I would just go up there and literally scream at them, like, what the? How could you do this to me? Like, and I would probably lose the game because of that. But I, you know, you just have to know yourself and you have to know what your weaknesses are and try to watch them as best as possible.
Victor for AFP.
If we played Big Brother together, I'd pull an Alyssa and lock you out.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
All right.
Jill Oliver says, is it possible that James is getting worse at comps? I hope he's saving all of his compy goodness for this veto. Get it together, James. Boy, a James fan.
I'm sorry, Alex. Did they just say that James might win the final four veto? Like, just kidding. Like, there's no way James win the final four veto. Like, he. But on the other hand, he may win the part one because I don't. If he makes it to a final three, I think he's the odds-on favorite to win the endurance competition. Depending on what it is, it could be more of a strength-based running endurance competition. In which case, I think give the edge to Paul. Something like Godfrey won in Big Brother Canada. So I don't know what it is, but if it's a hold on to something kind of endurance competition, I think James and Nicole both have to be huge favorites over Paul. Corey, on the other hand, if he ever made it there, I don't see any way he's going to hang on in anything endurance based.
Okay. I think it usually is that thing where you hold on the rope and get like slammed into the wall and then dunked in the water and then slammed into the wall.
That would be good.
And that to me is different from what we've seen James excel at, which
right.
is like he likes to stand on a wall and he has an advantage because he's 5 foot nothing and can crouch down
right.
the way other people can't.
Right.
And that's why he's so successful at those. There's no ability to do that with this. I feel like the beating against the wall because he has a smaller body is going to take more of a toll on him and maybe, well, him, Paul, and Nicole. I think that's almost a toss up totally at that point.
I give the edge to Paul on that one, but maybe that's my wishful thinking.
Well, yeah, it's almost about like will to win more than anything with that.
Okay. Edward Morris, Edmo says, is Paul better or worse for winning the HOH with no power? He's definitely better because he's got two shots at immunity. Got to take one. No
yeah.
issue, right? He can still win the veto, too.
No issue whatsoever. Not only that, but he also gets to play next week, too. So, you know, ideally he wins the veto or James wins the veto, whatever. Ideally, Paul wins the veto here. He gets rid of Corey because, like I said, Corey's good at the same things that Paul, I think, would be good at. And he goes to the final three with Nicole and James. At that point, Paul has to win out. I don't see James, no matter what he says, I don't see James or Nicole taking Paul. Paul will have to win his way to the end at this point. And but he did part one, so now he's just got to do part two.
Yeah, this week is all about survival.
And especially this conversation has come up again this week where James is like talking to Nicole about things that really you're not supposed to talk about with the idea of like, but we're going to, you know, figure out like we're going to share prizes and, you know, that kind of thing, which turns people off. And it also just tells you that James has a seemingly vested interest in getting Nicole to the end because he feels like they have that kind of a friendship potentially. So
Friendship. Yeah. Yeah. I hear it's a good move that go to the final three with James. That's what I heard. I saw a thread on Reddit about that.
I mean,
always want to go to the final three with James. Stephen H says, "Will this be the final time we see Victor in the Big Brother house?" Brent, is Victor did eulogize Victor? Did he make All Star status?
Boy, it's close. I think he's like replacement level all-star at this point. Like, I think he did enough if they want him back. He has advantages in that I think he's good in the diary room. He doesn't just repeat what I think that they tell him to say. He has his own thing to say. He is warm and charming. He's great at comps. You know, the modern Big Brother loves that sort of thing. And he's not a white, blonde, you know, kid from Texas. So there's that. So he doesn't look like every other Big Brother contestant that they might bring back. And I think that would be in his favor. So yeah, I think he might come back.
Hair color. That's what we're working on now.
Hey, you know, look, he doesn't look like 70% of America. He checks a few boxes that
he's
they
got
need
brown
checks.
Hair.
I think he definitely goes.
I think he needs to get the AFP. I think he needs the America's favorite player on his resume.
Well, Miss Cleo said he had a good shot at that, and I agree with her because he got evicted tonight, and the voting is going to start very, very soon. So you know, he looked like he looked like a real softy on his way out there. Like he was feeling bad about himself. You know, he got boned, as he said. You know, he trusted the wrong people. I think people who are voting will feel bad for him. They saw how many comps he won. They'll want to vote for a guy like that. I hope so.
I think Victor could, like, the most likely scenario is Victor coming back in the Frank Udy spot in a season just like this one. He's not quite an all-star, but in a half and half season where they want to, like, put in the replacements, so to speak,
right.
Then, you know, I think Victor represents the guy who's got all the comp prowess and maybe not the social game. So he's comp got beast. Pros, he's got yes. cons.
Yes. All right. Let's do two more questions. This is from Jeff, who says, did I hear that right? Did Derek just say he probably would have taken Cody to the end? Oh, is this opening the door? Is this Alex? Is this a little bit of a shadow of doubt?
I think he would have taken Victoria. I kind of do. I mean, I don't know.
What, like, about their deal?
He was pretty He was pretty sure he had Cody beat, but no, like, I mean, Derek is a gamer, and, like,
right.
a gamer calculates expected value. You know what I mean? And the expected value of going into a finale situation against Victoria is infinitely higher than what you can expect going in against Cody. Even if you expect to win in both situations, you can almost, you know, you can feel very confident going in against Victoria. So
to Victoria.
I wouldn't understand him not doing it, to be honest.
She said she had it.
Yeah, well, Rob, here's the thing, though. I think that, you know, Taryn brings up that little deal that they made, you know, if you take Victoria to the end, we're going to vote for Victoria, so don't take Victoria. Derek was the one who was the prime pusher of that. So if he gets to the end with Victoria, he can say easily and be insulated by the fact that I was the one who was saying that to make sure that you all didn't take Victoria to the end, because I wanted to take her to the end. I think he could explain it away. He would have been fine.
Okay. All right. Last question. This is from Ashley Bedazzle. Will the question Nicole missed tonight during the HOH competition become her clown shoe? Alex, will this be the beginning of the end for Nicole?
Her clown shoe, her Waterloo, her... right. I don't know. I think, if anything, this is maybe worse for Corey. I think Corey, you know, winning all these comps down the stretch and being big and kind of, you know, visible now in a very empty house is kind of... put him in a position where, you know, and again, like, you know, give Nicole some credit. Like, people hate that she's, you know, just played this game with Corey all season, but when it comes down to it, it looks like people are going to take out Corey first. So is right. that how you use a shield in a game like this? Absolutely.
Right. And Rob, there's no way that Nicole will be evicted here at the final four. Like, you can, like, her and Paul, you can pencil them in for the final three. Like, it's just a matter of whether or not Corey or James is going to take the third chair at this point. So Nicole will not rue the day. She might rue the day for Corey. Like, literally at this moment, she might be crying into a pair of Corey's shorts. I think Christina on Twitter said that, and I absolutely favorited it and retweeted it, because I hope it's true. I hope that she lost the veto and Corey lost the veto and she's crying over it right now.
So if James has the vote, you don't think that he potentially could keep Corey around?
No way. I don't see any. I mean, why is he going to keep Corey around? Corey's like a big,
that's
strong
boy. That he isn't, he have a good relationship with Corey?
He has a prior relationship with Nicole. I do not think it was a final two, but he does have some semblance of a relationship with Nicole. I think he would perceive Nicole as the easier person to beat at the end. The one fly in the ointment is that James might think to himself, Nicole is good at the same things that I'm good at, namely endurance. I might want to get rid of her and take Corey. I don't think it's likely at all. That's why I said pencil Nicole in. But like I said, Paul can't vote to evict. Even if Paul wins the veto, he's got to give the vote to James. So it's ultimately James's decision. Whatever James decides to do is what Paul's going to have to live with. Paul would obviously love for James to get rid of Corey, but I don't know what James wants to do, but I have to think he's going to get rid of Corey too.
Alex, do you agree with Brent that in terms of James's decision that he is taking Nicole to the final three?
100%.
That was so not English the other night. I think he is. I definitely think he is. I mean, him and Corey are good friends, but him and Nicole have conversations on a game level that him and Corey hang out. Him and Nicole talk game. You know what I mean? To me, that's a difference. That's a bit of a line.
Right.
Okay. All right. Lots of fun stuff tonight. Alex, what was it that you said? Not right, just passionate. Is that what the mantra of the Big Brother fan is?
Probably. That should be my epitaph, in fact.
Yeah, that should be your Twitter bio. Yeah. All fun stuff here tonight. So tomorrow night, we get ready to do it all over again at 9:15. PM Eastern time as we go down from 4 to 3. Very exciting stuff. And then, of course, on Friday night, we've got the recap coming up in the start of the final three. So basically just but 3 Big Brother podcasts left to go here as we actually 2 and then the finale And then lots of stuff, of course. 1 week from tomorrow night, Jordan Parhar will anchor our Big Brother finale coverage here on RHAP following the finale on Wednesday night, the 21st. Stephen Fishback and Josh Wigler will have the Survivor Know-It-Alls, and I will be in person at the finale with some interviews in the backyard, podcast and video to follow coming up. Of course, we've got the Corinne cast preview, if you think you can handle it, up on robhasthewebsite.com. So plenty of stuff to check out. Also, Stephen Fishback and I did our Survivor Australia Week 4 recap earlier tonight. So lots of podcasts all for you to check out on robhasthewebsite.com. We got a lot of stuff going on the website over the next 6 or 7 days as we start to get ready for the premiere. Brent, when does the new RuPaul's Drag Race episode drop?
We just dropped episode 3, the RuCap. It came out yesterday with me, Mike Bloom, and Haley. Haley was filling in for Allie Lasher, who is our normal host. And Lita from American Ninja Warrior is going to be with us next week because Allie's going to be out again. I know, yes. Right? Crazy. So she's going to be with us with me and Mike Bloom, and we're going to RuCap episode 4, which airs this Thursday night, and the episode will drop probably Sunday or Monday.
Not to be outdone, Alex Kidwell, you could hear him on our Fear the Walking Dead recap over on Post Show Recaps. How about that?
Yeah, talking about the Hotel Mexicana.
Lots of stuff going on. Yes. I'm not sure which has been the bigger house of horrors, Big Brother 18 or the hotel on Fear the Walking Dead. But lots
Big Brother 18, not close.
Yes, not close. We need Strand on BBOTT.
BBOTT. Oh, my God. I will make a final two deal with you, and I will swear upon it with my life.
Yes, they call it friendship. Yeah. All right, so fun stuff if you know what we're talking about. Anyway, thanks so much, Scott St. Pierre. We'll be back tomorrow night with our Big Brother Final 3. Take care, everybody.